Psalm 27, verse 1. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. David knew what it was like to have enemies come up against him who wanted to seemingly devour his flesh. Goliath practically told him he was going to devour his flesh, or at least that he was going to feed him to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. He told him so. Literally, his flesh would have been devoured. My adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. But though a host encamp around me, or against me, I'm sorry, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Why? Because Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the defense of my life. Who shall I dread? You know, Proverbs 18:10, which we have read many times, tells us, Proverbs 18:10, that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Do we believe that, brethren? Do we believe that? Psalm 125, verse 1. We sang about this today. Psalm 125, 1. Those who trust in Yahweh are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. You know, the mountains are imposing. More imposing than the armies of men. And they surround Jerusalem, and in that manner, so Yahweh surrounds his people. As in the time of Elisha, he saw the hosts of Yahweh. You know, Yahweh is known as Yahweh Tzibaoth, Yahweh of hosts. And his hosts encircled that army and could have destroyed them at any time, brethren. And Psalm 61, verse 1. Psalm 61, verse 1. And we sing about this as well. Hear my cry, O Elohim, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings, Selah. That shelter that we felt at Tabernacles, brethren. Yes, even though on the surface we were in the midst of a group that was mixed, that you had some people from the world, but yet it was unlike anything we face here, brethren. At least it was for me. We felt a unity and we felt the fellowship. And we felt even, we looked beyond. We saw with spiritual eyes at that feast, brethren. We looked beyond the people in the rows who were not a part of the group. And we looked at the spiritual. And we gathered together and we worshipped and we were happy. And we sat and we had lunch together. We had fires together and we spoke around the fire, we warmed ourselves, and we embraced one another, and we enjoyed ourselves, and we were safe, because we were there in the name of Yahweh, who is our refuge, our tower, and our strength, brethren. And we can do that, again, even in the midst of this darkness of this world. We can do that in our minds, in our hearts. We can remember, we don't have to wait until we're in the mountains to do that. We can look at this word and look at these accounts, and we can understand that that same Elohim who protected us there will protect us anywhere, brethren. And he will help us through these difficulties of life. Let's look at another instance in the life of Elisha where this was evident. And from a slightly different angle. 2 Kings verse 5. 2 Kings verse 5. Beginning with verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram. Here are the Arameans again, the Syrians. Captain of the army of the king of Aram was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him Yahweh had given victory to Aram. Remember that Yahweh controls all nations, not just Israel. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. So if you think of this as a great general type, okay, like a Maximus type, this is what Naaman was for his people. But he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands that had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who was from the land of Israel. Well, once again, it's a case where a little child is, you know, she's not a little child, but she's young, and she's explaining, you know, in her innocence, you know, who this prophet is. Then the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I Elohim to kill him to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." In other words, he's trying to pick a fight. He knows I can't heal somebody of his illness. He's trying to pick a fight with me. And, you know, he's just getting a little defensive here, but I can understand that. "It happened when Elisha, the man of Elohim, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes?'" You know, tearing of the clothes was an act of mourning or of great grief.